Welcome everyone to All About Windows Phone Insight Podcast 234, recording this on 27th of October 2017. I am Steve Litchfield and Rafe Blanford is middle of a busy project, and that's the real reason why he hasn't been on for a week or so. But we have a stand-in, as usual. This time it's the turn of Anthony Fear. Hi there.
Hello, Steve.
Remind people where you are.
I am in beautiful Nova Scotia on the east coast of Canada.
Despite your accent. How long have you been there?
I've actually 10 years this year.
Yeah.
10 years in December. Yep.
Did you miss Blighty?
Not at all. I miss the family. I miss the family, but opportunities in Canada have been outstanding. So good move for us.
Okay. Well, we do have a few stories to talk about. Also, some letters in. So, well, let's start with a couple of letters because they've been hanging around for a week or two and I don't want to let the letter writers down. So this is from Michael O'Hara, and Anthony, do leap in after I've read this with any thoughts. Michael says, please don't give up on Windows 10 mobile podcasts. There are lots of us out here still, and we depend on you. He says, I've had iPhones from 2007 to 2015, then went through a BlackBerry Passport and Key One, also a Lumia 640 XL, and I still have it. Finally, 6 months ago, I picked up a like new 950 XL for $300 and have been in love ever since. As you guys have often said, the performance is quite good, the camera is great, the screen shines, etc., etc. Michael says, I picked up a new spare battery and peach-coloured Mozo back. They did a peach one. I love Live Tiles and Windows Mobile. I have apps for all my needs, not really a social media junkie. I'm into Grover Pro for podcasts. I subscribe to over 100 of them. G Player and Media Play for G Music, Google Music. Microsoft Outlook, Office 365, Audible and Libby. Overdrive for audiobooks. MyTube for YouTube, and also TubeGet for downloading. TeamViewer, Wunderlist, Pandora, Photoshop Express, and many more. Michael says, I fully expect my $300 Lumia 950 XL at a third to a half of any comparable current phones to see me quite well indeed through 2019, and then we'll see what's available then. By the way, only Apple can match Microsoft's Windows 10 OS and security update model. I heard you guys kind of go on a bit about Microsoft and Android, but really, have you tried keeping an Android phone updated? Forget about it. He says, love your site and podcast. Any thoughts on that, Anthony?
No, absolutely. You know what? I agree with him. I think there's still a place for us Windows 10 fans, Windows 10 mobile fans. And I'm with you, Michael. I still come back to my 950 XL on a regular basis. It really is a superb phone. I didn't think much of it at the time when it came out. It felt awful cheap. But once you've thrown a lovely Mozo case on the back, it really does seem to keep up there with some of the flagships, even today, years after its release.
Yeah, when it was released in the UK, it was something ridiculous, like £550. Mm. And that was with just the standard cheap plastic back. If only they had, you know, thrown in the Mozo back of your choice and pitched the whole thing all in it, I don't know, 429 or something about £100 cheaper, then they might have had a goer. As it is, you can now pick, as Michael has picked up there, you pick these things up at a relative bargain. The Mozo cases you can usually find secondhand or at bargain prices. So everything's about half the price that it was when it first came out. And with all of the Windows 10 mobile updates, I know we're, you know, the platform isn't now end-of-lifing and they've stopped making the hardware, but finally we have software that works well and mature and most of the bugs are fixed, and you can pick the hardware up at half price. So it's not too late to get in on the game, maybe.
No, absolutely. You know, and even the Alcatel has dropped here anyway in North America. It's down to about $250 now, which, okay, again, it's running Windows 10 and there's a perhaps no light at the end of the tunnel, but it's still a great phone for that price.
But the tunnel is still illuminated, Anthony. The lights are still on.
Perhaps, yes, perhaps.
Yeah, even though the tunnel is bricked up at the very end, the lights are still on. Anyway, yep. We have another letter from, I've been struggling for metaphors for the Windows 10 mobile for a long time, and I've had it four or five. I've got to pick my favourite, and then, or maybe I'll do an editorial rounding up all the metaphors and people can pick their favourite. J. Bernard Walsh, known to his friends as JBW, says, dear Steve and Rafe, congrats on your most recent AWP podcast, dissecting the recent noise on the web and putting more sense and perspective to Joe Belfiore's comments. I always look forward to your AAWP podcast, and while I'm very saddened to hear that in the foreseeable future we won't have new Windows mobile hardware, I'm convinced that Windows on ARM is hugely important going forwards and that Microsoft have to be at the forefront in this area. ARM processors, he says, will hugely challenge x86 processors over the next few years, and the fact that Apple's A11 Bionic chip equates on Geekbench to one of the new 13-inch MacBook Pro computers has sent many shockwaves throughout the x86 industry. JBW says, Microsoft Office at present runs very smoothly on ARM on Android, iOS and Windows Mobile, with the iPad Pro and iPhone 8 currently being super fast and both lasting a day on battery. It is my opinion, indeed a no-brainer for the MacBook Pro and probably Microsoft Windows laptops to go fully ARM at some point in the future, he says. Apple has also started producing their own integrated GPU chip, starting with the iPhone 8, with truly amazing results. JBW says, Windows on ARM needs to be in the ballpark, as otherwise Google will muscle into corporate, as will Apple. And what at present seems unimaginable, Microsoft will be big-time challenged in the corporate environment. Just jump in there, Anthony. You've got a good insight into the business and enterprise markets. Is Microsoft losing the zeitgeist in the enterprise?
So, you know what? I think the backbone of enterprise, the server, even cloud, is not going anywhere anytime soon. Microsoft's still firmly planted in that area. What does concern me slightly is their pullback from consumer. I don't think they are fully appreciating the impact of allowing their competition to put devices in the hands of consumers who ultimately are business decision makers. I mean, the iOS, iPhone and iPad was not brought into business through business demand. It was brought into business through executives saying, this thing's awesome, make it work. And I fear that by Microsoft allowing Android and iOS to multiply in the consumer space, and by Microsoft not being there, not playing, that consumers are being exposed to those alternative products and the ecosystems around them. I know people like you and I, if we pick up an Android device, we might be willing to install the Microsoft launcher and then all the Microsoft tools on top of it. But I don't think normals do. And they use what comes on the device. And if that happens to be Google services that look awesome and work awesome or Apple devices, then I think that could filter down into the business market.
Yeah, absolutely. If you could just back away from your microphone slightly, Anthony, which is going to be a bit of booming there. Yeah, absolutely. I think when Satya Nadella decided, that's it, we're not making hardware anymore, we're going to be out, we're going to retrench from mobile, I think he made a fatal mistake there. I mean, each of the Microsoft CEOs has arguably made at least one fatal mistake. I think that might have been Satya's, because without mobile, as you say, these other ecosystems, the other operating systems, they become the de facto standards. And it's an incredible uphill fight to fight your way back. While Microsoft was at 10% market share in some countries, even 20% in Italy at one point, if they just ploughed on with that and carried on investing, carried on improving, and putting some marketing money behind it, producing higher quality premium hardware, they could have pushed through, and that might have become 15 or 20%, 25% worldwide. Who knows where they might have gone if they'd put some money into it. And at that point, they've got somewhere to go, up from 25%. To go up from 0% is just ridiculous. And I think Microsoft has now given up in terms of, quote, smartphones, which is why we're seeing these rumours of a foldable courier-like Windows 10 on ARM, Surface something coming next year. And that's so nebulous. There have been lots of stories this week, but it really is pie in the sky at this point.
It is, and you know, with them pulling back from even Groove Music, or at least the subscriptions, there's now a certain nervousness around anything consumer that Microsoft ventures into. You know, the Harman Kardon speaker, the Invoke, is now available. But I find for the first time in I don't know how long, in many years, I'm hesitant to go and spend my money on one of Microsoft's consumer products, because I believe I see the writing on the wall. You know, in 6 months' time, I think this thing's going to drop in price because no one's buying it. And in a year, Microsoft's going to say, yeah, we're pulling back from that, and we want to be where the users are, and which probably means Google Home and Alexa. And my apologies for anyone if I just set off all the devices. I think I touched on them all. So, you know, I went to... I was at Microsoft Inspire this year in Washington, D.C. So there's maybe 17,000 people descended there this year, Microsoft's partner conference. And I have never seen so many Windows phones, Microsoft bands, you know, all this. Honestly, I never realized there were still so many of us holdouts. And I feel that it's, again, it's that message that Microsoft's not getting, is that the diehards like us are the ones that they're upsetting by killing these services or by releasing them. And then we go and spend our hard-earned money on it, and then they pull back. And I wonder how many times more they can do that before they burn those bridges.
Yeah, if they upset the diehards, then there's no hope for the rest of the humanity, I think. So, yeah. The Surface line is still doing pretty well. I mean, I'm still very pleased with my Surface Pro here. And to be fair, that because it plays into the Windows stronghold of, you know, Windows desktop and getting things done in business, I think that will carry on despite some of the recent rumours. And that's not doing too badly. But I completely agree in terms of consumer services and consumer accessories. I think that they've burnt one too many bridges.
Absolutely.
JBW carries on in his letter. So he says, for the last few years, I've loved my Lumia 925. I recently acquired a 950 as well, and I feel the same about this beautiful machine with a velvet smooth OS interface. I also use a Nexus 5X, he says. My main driver at the moment, though, is an iPhone 8 Plus, says JBW, and it's super speedy and a camera with a super fast 100% accurate focus and natural colours. You both mentioned Microsoft partnering with Android on mobile going forward, and there's a link to the site there where I did a whole feature, which we'll come to probably in a moment, of just trying out some of the Microsoft services and launchers on Android. JBW says, every iOS and Mac product has an inbuilt Active Directory syncing thanks to an agreement between Microsoft and Apple, and it's now a cinch to access all corporate drives and networks that are powered by Microsoft. Ask any corporate IT regarding integrating iOS devices, the IT department sending a single text message, which the end user clicks on, is all that's required to link an iPhone or iPad to any corporate network. And it's simple for a Mac to join a company's Microsoft Active Directory and, in fact, control and manage an Active Directory site with an iPhone or iPad. I guess that agrees with you there, Anthony. Really, it's iPhones and Android devices and iPads and Macs, they're now seamlessly integrated into the corporate culture, and there's no real need for or opportunity for a Microsoft consumer phone.
No, I agree, and there is, but again, I would argue that these devices, the Apple devices, became accepted and became supported simply because of the iPhone and the iPad. And again, I think it's that gap in the market that Microsoft needs to fill. But yeah, he's absolutely right. You can quite easily, in fact, many organizations these days standardize on iPhones because of the security features.
Yeah,
and the ease of control.
Yep. Yeah, although Windows 10 Mobile itself, as I've argued many times, is actually very secure as well. Just to go to harp on the same point over and over again, but the Surface line, when it came out, it was metal, it was sleek, it was premium as expensive. Why on earth didn't they do the same with phones? If they'd started out with a Lumia 950 or something at the same era, the same launch event as the Surface Book. I think they launched the 950 mm-hmm. XL, 950. But, you know, made of plastic with no obvious premium. I mean, we know that the innards are pretty premium, and so especially the camera, for example. But why on earth didn't they put the same effort into the phone that they did with the Surface? And then we wouldn't be talking about all this today.
No, absolutely. But it did seem, you know, looking back on that event, that it was a half-hearted release even then.
Yeah.
Felt like they'd already made the decision to let it go when they made that announcement.
Well, at least we got the 950 and 950 XL out of it, and we're still enjoying them today. So it's
exactly, absolutely, you know, and I love my 950 XL. It's a really awesome device, and as I said, I still come back to it on a regular basis.
Yeah, well, a few stories from the site we'll just cover. Really, the Microsoft has published the official production fall creators update device list of every single branch of the OS. It drops a few of the older phones off the list. This time, it's dropping the Lumia 640 and 640 XL, which, to be fair, only just managed to scrape the creators update by the skin of their teeth, given their launch window. But the current window device list for the 1709, the branch 1709, that's FCU, as I've been calling it, and people have been rather unkindly giving that other interpretations. Available for the Elite X3, and this Elite X3 Verizon, which I hadn't heard of, but presumably that is still around somewhere. There's an X3 for Telstra. Is that America or is that Canada? What's Telstra?
Telstra, I don't know. I'm not familiar with Telstra.
Must be North America. Wiley Fox Pro, which we still haven't heard of, in terms of actually seeing one in the flesh. I've been applying to Wiley Fox and saying, you know, if you've actually made one of these, send it across for review. Nothing so far. Lumia 550, 650, 950 XL, for example. The Idol 4S, Idol 4 Pro, Alcatel One Touch Fierce XL, which I've never even touched, although I believe it's around in some quantity in the UK. The SoftBank 503LV, I'm guessing that's Japan. Vio PhoneBiz, again Japan. Mouse Computer Madosma Q601. Trinity Nuance Neo. I think all of these are Far Eastern devices, aren't they?
Mm. Certainly sounds like.
Anyway,
I'm not familiar with many of those.
They do all exist, but they're all supported for this branch 1709. The question then remains, Anthony, is that Microsoft have said basically that we're then carry on updating Windows 10 Mobile and fixing it and patching it until now the end of 2019. They've literally quoted that. How far are we going to go for our current devices? So your 950 XL you've got there. Will it get branch 1803 in spring 2018, whatever that ends up being called? Or I guess you could argue it's had its 2 years. Will they carry on, or will it just be the very, very new Snapdragon 820 devices?
I imagine as long as these devices don't require anything more than just the core code, and that it can be applied to all these devices, then I would guess they'll all get them and continue to until the end of 2019. Yep.
Yeah. The 550 and 650 getting FCU basically was because they were still within the 2 year thing, even though they're quite low end.
Right.
The 640, 640 XL were both low end and also out of their time frame. But I would argue, like you just did, that the 950 XL, because they're on the Snapdragon 800 series chipsets, there's no reason whatsoever why they couldn't get whatever's next. So hopefully they'll get officially released. And of course, I'm sure the Insiders program will allow us to jump to 1803 next year. So something else to play with anyway. Looking ahead at the other stories on the site, I reviewed an app, and there's a new podcatcher, Anthony. I know you and I and most geeks out there on reading AWP love podcatchers. This one's not, it's new and yet not new. It's the developer of OneCast, which I was really quite impressed by, the podcatcher without a user interface, in the sense that there was nothing to fiddle with, no settings. You just added your podcast and it worked. And it was a lovely idea, really clean idea. But bit by bit, people said, can you just add this and can you just add that? And then the OneCast user interface quickly became completely unmanageable because it wasn't designed to have all these add-ons. So the developer's gone back to first principles, used all the best bits of OneCast and has produced My Podcasts. I don't know whether you've had a look at it.
I just installed it last night and I've started loading it up with My Podcast this morning.
Yeah. Any good?
So far, so good. Yeah. So this looks quite promising.
Yeah, it seems like every podcatcher that comes along learns from all the previous podcatchers. And I think from what I've seen so far, I think I'd put this up with Grover Pro. Obviously, this one needs a bit of maturing, a few rough edges and bugs fixed. But once that's happened, I think we'll have two top-notch podcatchers. I've still got a soft spot for things like Bringcast, but they do seem somewhat as if they've retreated from development. I must get in touch with them and just see how far they've got. But yeah, so My Podcast UWP recommended. There's a review up on the site, and do go and try it. It's got a business model where you basically the freebie users can use the basic features, and as you'd expect, if you want to do extra user interface things, if you want to mess around with background downloads and so forth, then you buy the pro version, and there are various IAPs. But I have absolutely no problem with paying developers. Anthony, I don't know about you, but whenever I see a program that I like, the very first thing I do is head into the menu in the settings and see, how can I pay to upgrade this? How can I give the developers some money? What about you?
Absolutely. So, with this particular app, the developers, he's quite active on sending out updates. So like you, I thought, you know what, I'm in. I want to support this developer. So I have made my in-app purchases already.
Well done. Well done. I would encourage, encourage listeners to do the same. This is an ecosystem which is hanging on by the skin of its teeth. So when you have a good app, do support it, do pay for it, do upgrade it, and then hopefully the apps will carry on being updated.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So did you see my review of Microsoft on Android? And this is kind of me getting ahead of the game, but it was one of the possibilities for next year I discussed with Rafe, that maybe Microsoft may decide, you know, let's actually put out in our store at a rather more widespread release, for example, a Samsung Galaxy S8 Plus or Note 8, but with completely reconfigured with all Microsoft stuff. And that was what I was trying to do. I was actually using a cheaper Honor 6X phone, which is still a very nice smartphone. But I loaded it up with the Microsoft Launcher and Cortana and all the Microsoft services. And, you know, it worked pretty well. Any thoughts on seeing all my screenshots?
Yeah, you know, actually, no. I really like the article. It's actually what I do with all my Android devices, and I think the fact that Microsoft has taken on what was a garage project, which was Arrow Launcher, and have taken it on officially and made it the Microsoft Launcher, is promising. I agree. I think I would like to see Microsoft hijack the Android ecosystem with devices loaded up with or customized with their own apps. I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but people do go and read the article. It's quite a long thing, and I've got about 50 or 60 screenshots in there. There's a lot to cover. I guess the next thing to do is to do some kind of video overview so people can just sit back and crank out a beer or something and then and watch me actually playing with the interface in real time. I think that might be useful and fun. So yep. That's next. Just looking on the site, the MyTube's got a big autumn update. What do you use for YouTube?
I use TubeCast too.
Yeah, that has the advantage that also does all the casting stuff to Chromecast.
Exactly. Well. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Although I believe that MyTube also has an element of that. There's a Chromecast icon, which I must play with. But there is certainly no shortage of YouTube clients. It's still galling we don't have an official Google one, but I think that ship has sailed. But there's also PerfectTube and a couple of others. So there's really no shortage of ways to watch YouTube on your Windows 10 mobile phone. The over the cable updater Microsoft has released, I don't know whether you saw this, it looks to be very much aimed at IT departments, but we've got yet another way of updating our smartphones.
Yeah, what a strange message they send out, huh? I mean, this was something we asked for years, and nothing but silence. And the second they announced the third or fourth death of Windows Phone, they release a tool like this. It's, good old Microsoft.
I think it just speaks to the fact that Microsoft has got so many departments still, and so they're all doing their own thing, and they don't necessarily synchronize in terms of timescales. So tools can appear long after the need for them has gone away, which is really quite sad. Yeah, we've been seeing all sorts of companies, haven't we, around the world, high-profile companies, apparently, you know, the headline would be getting scraps Windows phones, buys iPhones, and what's actually happening if you dig deeper is that they're changing the way they work, and they're investing in Microsoft's back-end cloud services and Office 365, but they're implementing them on newer hardware. And because these Windows phones are now 3 or 4 years old, they're investing in Samsungs and iPhones and whatever. So it's never as simple as scraps Windows phone buys iPhone, or scraps Windows 10 mobile buys Android. That's usually a simplification, although that's what the headlines normally like to proclaim. But any comment on all that?
Yeah, it's great clickbait, these headlines, but you know, having seen how a lot of these deals are done behind the scenes, you know, I suspect that a lot of these organizations that did take on Windows Phone handsets were heavily incentivized by Microsoft to do so. I'm fairly sure, was it the police department that was announced
New York.
Too long ago. And what I'd read on one article was that in fact the deal they'd done meant the phones weren't costing them anything at all, so to switch from Windows Phone to iPhone wasn't such the big deal that the headlines had claimed.
One final thing before we finish, I've been saying to Rafe quite often on the podcast and to other guests that it's not all about applications. There is a kind of a trend to more and more stuff being done via web browsers on all platforms, really, despite the so-called app ecosystem. And let's face it, on a large screen 950XL or an Alcatel Idle 4 Pro and Litex 3, if the screen's large enough, you can actually do stuff in the browser without any real downside. And a good example of this up on the site at the moment, there's a story called Tinder and Windows 10 Mobile, a good match thanks to Edge. And basically, Tinder, as with many modern services, has a fully functional, I mean literally fully functional, HTML5 implementation on the web, complete with, as you swipe, This is a dating app, by the way, if you've not heard of Tinder out there. And as you swipe ladies' faces away, you animate away just as if they would on a native application. So it's really nicely done. And it's all implemented in Edge, and you can pin it to your start screen, etc., etc. So a good example, Anthony?
A good example of a progressive web app, absolutely, yeah. And hopefully the something that gives us hope into 2019 with our Windows devices. But I'd just like to thank you personally for taking the time to research this particular website, Steve.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the trouble I've got into at home.
I can imagine.
I did one of the comments said, let us know how your dates go, Steve. I think that's taking it a bit too far. Anyway, it's a good example. And I've said again on the podcast that I'm fascinated, by the way, on a desktop or a hybrid or a tablet, everyone's perfectly happy to access all of these services via their web browser, whether it be Safari or Chrome or Edge. The moment you get below a certain screen size, and I'm tempted to say something like 5 or 6 inches, it's automatically assumed that the, quote, app provides a better experience. And I do agree, it does. That the reason the, quote, app ecosystem took off is because Apple mainly did it well for the initial iPhone, which had a 3.5-inch screen, at which point, however good Safari was, you get a far slicker experience with a dedicated bit of code that presented just the information you needed. But now we've got to 4-inch screens, then 5-inch screens, and now the Lima 950XL is 5.7, the Elite X3 is 6, and so forth. 5.5, 6-inch screens, there is enough real estate there that is kind of in between the two extremes, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, and I think the other thing that may have held back web apps initially was connectivity, which, over the years now is it's almost difficult not to be connected these days. So again, I think that's another plus for web apps. Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for people who have written in, Michael and JBW. If you've got a letter or a rant or something, your experiences you want to share, then do write in. You can catch me at Steve Litchfield on Twitter, don't forget the T in Litchfield, or slitchfield@gmail.com. Anthony, if people want to just follow you socially online, where can they find you?
I'm pretty active on Twitter, so Anthony Fear at Twitter.
Okay, and thank you very much for coming on. We'll catch you hopefully in a few weeks or months when you next guest.
Absolutely looking forward to it. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening. This has been the All About Windows Phone Insight Podcast. Bye for now.